We take up our Bibles at this time, turning to the book of Exodus, today to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, verses 12 through 17. If you're visiting with us, we have worked our way now through the entirety, at least to this point, for the most part, of the book of Exodus, having gone through all of the Lord's commands for the building of his tabernacle, the building of a place of relationship between God and his people. And now comes the one last thing, as it were. Here comes that reminder of the context in which their work was to be done, namely in rest. And so we'll look at this passage this morning, and then for our commissioning of elders and deacons, of ourselves as a congregation on Friday, looking at a summary of Exodus 40 together as we look ahead to the work that the Lord continues to call us to in the building up of a people together in him. Well, let's hear these words, Exodus 31. Again, beginning our reading in verse 12, we pay special attention to the reading of God's word because it is that. It is the very word of the holy God. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's ask his blessing on it in prayer. Fathers, you bring us to familiar words, and yet those things, Lord, so countercultural in the world around us. Father, you bring us to an understanding of Sabbath, of Lord's Day. Father, of that rest that you call us to, a higher rest that we have sang about, but a rest each and every Sunday nonetheless. And so, Father, as we consider these things, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive the word. Now, Father, if we've hardened ourselves to what this is, we pray, Lord, might you open our hearts, open our ears, ready us to receive it. And Father, we pray then that you would continue to remind us of the rest that is ours in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Children of God called to be saints, work and rest. Now, these two words are natural pairs. Kids, maybe in hearing them, you would recognize them as antonyms. I know we're on Christmas break, but bear with me a little bit. They're antonyms, they're opposites. And yet, if we consider those words, they need each other. You can't have one without the other. In order to rest, we must work. In order to work, we must rest. And that and nature of these two things becomes very important when we consider that in the word, rest and work are commanded. That rest and work are required of us. That rest and work are necessities for us. And yet for too often, even amongst Christians, we lament this reality rather than celebrating it. For our kids on the Lord's Day, we have to rest today. For some of us, we have to go to work again. You see, we really lament both. And yet, when we take the time to think about what the scriptures have to say about the realities of rest and work, there should be celebration. Because we're brought to the example and command of a heavenly Father. Consider with me for a minute two of the greatest works of the Father to this point in the Old Testament, namely that of the creation and of the Exodus. That the Father gives himself in Genesis 1 to proclaiming his word and calling all things out of nothing in the power of his Holy Spirit in 6 days. And then he rested. We celebrate the work, but he rested. Genesis 2, "Thus the heavens and earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." He didn't have to. He doesn't have to rest Indeed, he who watches over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps. An all-powerful, omnipotent God doesn't need a day of rest or a night of sleep or even as much as a 15-minute break or a pause to catch his breath. But he rested. He rested and gave the day as a gift. Here is what I give to creation too. I understand all of the stuff that is created. I understand the creation mandate that I've given you. But here's my gift too. After completing his work, he rested. After years of slavery in Egypt and much bitter and forced labor, the Father gave himself to the work of delivering his people from Egypt and their slavery. And so after completing his work and completely destroying the Egyptians in the Red Sea, he gave the people rest. He brought them to the oasis. He brought them to Elim, that they could be refreshed. He provided for them. He would later provide twice as much manna on Friday so that on the Sabbath, no food would need to be gathered. They needed to rest. And it was so important, in fact, that God doesn't first give a command to his people to work in the Ten Commandments. He gives them a command to rest. Yes, by extension, that work is there. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the fourth commandment is one of rest. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Deuteronomy 6, you remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has given you to observe, to keep the Sabbath day. The God who delivers, the God who does all the work of salvation, calls that delivered people to rest. To a people who had worked 6 days, they are given the gift of a day of refreshment according to his pattern. And so it's that history that brings us to Exodus 31. Because here you have a mighty work that has been placed before Bezalel and Aholiab, before all the craftsmen of Israel. Here is this work. And you think about it. The massive undertaking, the skill, the work, the gathering, the crafting, the artistry. What an all-consuming task. The work would be incredibly difficult given their location and their station, a calling beyond humbling. And yet the master builder, the covenant-keeping God, had called them and would equip them and would provide them with everything they would need to do the work. Everything that they were called to do, they would be able to do. It's a blessed assurance. And so think about that in terms of your own work. Think about the varied callings that you've been given. That the Lord, in calling you to them, will give you what you need. He will give you the strength. He will give you the understanding. He will give you the fortitude. He will give you every bit of that which you are called to in order to do that work for his glory. It is assurance for us too. And yet for some reason, all we do then is give our minds and our worry and our anxiety to that thing. It's a problem when we hear about people and we're like, oh, well, they're caught up in their work. They're defined by their work. All they do is work. All they do is talk about work. It's a problem. Because when we become defined by that as Christians, we're losing sight of the gift. There is value in our work. And yet before the work of the tabernacle was to begin, the Lord brings his people back to what they need to be mindful of from the get. That before work is commenced, rest is commanded. Remember who you are. Remember who has given you your work. Remember who has provided you all of it. Remember. And it won't be the last time. The command to Sabbath is going to be reiterated again in Exodus 35. It's going to be brought before the people again in Deuteronomy 5. The Lord is going to continue to bring it. Because our sinful hearts want to define themselves by the work. Look at the work of my hands. Look at what I've done. Look at my monument. Look at my masterpiece. Look. No. You see, the Lord grants rest to his people that they would be rested and refreshed to serve in thanks, not to earn anything from him, but as their spiritual working of worship to a holy God who calls them to be holy. And in that way, it is no different for us. Again, we're so focused on what God calls us to do and to be that we don't focus on the necessity and the nature and the witness of our rest. Again, what do? We recognize and praise people for what? They work hard. They're excellent. They put the time in. At work, look at the loyalty. Look at the extra hours. Look at the... But we don't ever go somewhere and say, hey, you know what? Here's your certificate for resting well. Here's your kudos for taking 2 weeks of vacation this year. Hey, thanks for taking time on Sunday to be who you're called to be. You see, we are not as Christians first to be recognized for our work, even though it is always to be exemplary as an offering to the Lord. But I want to challenge you that Christians should be first recognized for their rest. And that's because of the gift and example of our Master Builder, who builds a spiritual dwelling in us and among us, that we would continue to worship him and serve only him. That the way in which you use the Sabbath and rest in him will speak volumes corporately, but also individually, of our love for him and dependence upon him. And thanks to him. And so the Master Builder commands his worshiping and serving people unto a Sabbath of rest and refreshment. And we want to see that briefly in four ways this morning in terms of what that Sabbath is to look like or to be among God's people. The Sabbath is a sign in verses 12 and 13. It is holy in verse 14. It is solemn in verse 15. And it is promise in verses 16 and 17. Sign, holy, solemn, promise. The Master Builder commands his worshiping and serving people unto a Sabbath of rest and refreshment. And that command to that sign comes by way of his word. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. It's a clear command. There's no wiggle room in it. There's no confusion. And think about that in the light of all that has come before. After giving for chapters and chapters of instruction concerning the building of his holy dwelling among them, he's still first concerned about building his relationship with them. Again, it's not first about the physical thing that will be created, but what they are to keep and to guard concerns their relationship and interaction with him. That's what's most important. And how is that signaled? If you underline in your Bible, above all. Not make sure the work is excellent. Not make sure there are no mistakes in it. Not make sure you... above all, that relationship has to be kept. That understanding has to be guarded. As much as I have gifted you to work and serve me, I will give to you and gift you to rest before me. That the word of my law of dwelling in your midst and my great command above all else is that you would rest in me. It has to define their work. It has to define their interactions together. And why is this important? Well, the law was to be before them in their rest and in their work. Because when we overvalue work, what's the danger? We dismiss that law. So here we have Bezalel and Aholiab who could be tempted to what? The work's too important to stop. Sometimes we do that in ministry. Well, I can't rest because I have to serve God's people. God can raise up servants for himself. God will not give to us more work than he has called us to, more than he has equipped us and given to us to do. We have to stop having this valuation of ourselves that we're the only one. Bezalel, I've given you Aholiab, and I've given you all the gifted ones in Israel. Do the work, administer the work. But in the midst of your holy calling, remember your rest. The commentator Motir captures this well. The law was given to alert the workers on the tabernacle to the fact that the uniqueness and holiness of their task did not allow them to sit loose to the law of God. They needed to rest. And yet the Sabbath is more than just that word, right? Although it's no less than that. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You're not sanctifying yourself by your work. I am sanctifying you even in that which you do. And that's huge. For the Sabbath that they were to keep was a picture of reality. I've set you apart. I've chosen you to be my people. I will continue to care and provide for you. That this will be the sign of your set apartness and distinction in terms of your work. That you are to be those serving a holy God who is making you more like him, even in the things that you do, but also in the things that you don't. This is to be a sign of your set apartness and distinction in terms of your rest. And so, people of God, our rest is to be a sign that we know that the Lord is working in us to make us more like him. That your rest is a sign that you know him. And that you trust him, and that you love him. And when you refuse that rest, you are communicating and signing the very opposite. I don't trust that God will do his work. I don't trust that he will provide for me. I don't trust that there should be a balance that should be found in my life. I don't trust that my identity can be found in him and not in my work. People of God, the Lord has called you to keep something that at all times points to him, to his work, and to your rest in him. And so I want to ask you this day, what does your Sabbath communicate to you and to your family and to your community in terms of your sanctification and your desire to know more of it? Does your rest point you and your family and your community to the one who dwells in you and with you to make you holy, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And do you trust him in his work that you may confidently rest in him as one who sets you apart to be holy? That in the second place in verse 14. Because the Sabbath is a sign, but it is a sign kept because God says it is holy. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. And surely in Christ we speak of all things being holy, including our work. But what's being mentioned here is that in your rest you are working to keep something distinct. The Sabbath was made and given for you. And in keeping it then, you are called to protect it. The day is to be treated differently by you because of the Lord's declaration and command, but more because of the promised blessing of the day. Because it's a day different, and kids, I know, I used to be a kid way, way long time ago. But knowing, why do we need this day? It's a struggle, right? This day's different. And we don't want it to be. But it's kept that way. Because the day, as your parents, I pray, have told you, and your grandparents, as we see that covenant faithfulness, we see that it's a day set apart because there are specific reasons for it and specific tasks to take care of on it. And even if your parents say, go take a nap, that's a part of that discipline too. You see, it's holy for you because God has given it to you that it would be holy, that it would be set apart and distinct. Think about that in hearing these words from Isaiah 58. If you turn your back, or you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, hear the payoff. then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Sabbath is holy for you, because it's not yours to do with as you please. It's holy because the Sabbath is a distinguishing mark of a holy people. And Israel, before they started doing some of the work that God had given to them, was to remember that. They needed to understand this truth, and frankly, brothers and sisters, we're losing it. And it's easy for us to sit and say, well, we're losing it in churches around us and in communities that a decade or two ago would have never even thought about it. But it's here too. And it's due in part to several things, first of which is our sinful heart and our desire to do that which is pleasing to us rather than that which is pleasing to the Lord. It's due to the worship of our families rather than of the Lord, the worship of our time rather than offering it to Him, the worship of sports, the worship of our work, the worship of personal leisure, the worship of an improper and uneducated view of the kind of rest that the Lord calls us to, an improper abuse of, well, that's fulfilled in Christ. Really? You see, brothers and sisters, we don't delight in the day because we don't make it a delight. And we don't delight in the day because we don't delight in the Lord. And we don't delight in the day because we don't realize the wonder of God's recreation of us in it. And that ultimately is why we should pause. We say the Lord is holy. Nobody's going to argue that in this place this morning. We say that He's set apart in our hearts and holy. We claim that our eternal security is wrapped up in Him and in His holiness in Jesus Christ. And yet we take His gift and we dismiss it, or we use it for that which is not ordained for it to be used. He is holy or He's not. And the day is holy or the day is not. How is the Sabbath holy in your life? How are you set apart? How is your day set apart? And you have to be able to answer that question. Why? Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Wow. If we're in Christ, is this a clear and present danger? If you have no delight in a holy God, in the worship of a holy God, or of following after the commands of a holy God, what evidence and fruit have you that you are holy? Clear and present danger, perhaps. He is holy. His command is holy. His day is holy. His people are to be holy. And His holiness is that serious. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because if you're working, you're not resting. If you're not resting, you're spurning his word and promise. If you're not resting, you're claiming to be sovereign rather than humbling yourself before the sovereign God. But what an encouragement. If you're in Christ, be holy. What a joy, not a burden. Be holy. That's your honor and privilege and command in Christ Jesus. Be holy in all your conduct, which includes your use of the Sabbath day, and not just some of it or part of it, because the Sabbath in that third place is solemn. It's a solemn day. And please, 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 please hear what I just said. It is a solemn day. It is not a somber day. We talk the good game from our catechism, festive day of rest. But I would say for some of you, you feel like Sabbath is a funeral dirge. Oh, what a downer. And yes, we come in reverence and respect and the truth. But there's joy. This is what Christ has done for us. This is family get-together, gathering and celebration of the grace and mercy of a King and Savior who calls us to present ourselves before Him, a good and gracious Heavenly Father. We have every reason for joy. but it doesn't always look like it or feel like it, nor do we act that way. And yet the heart of the Sabbath command found in our text is found here in verse 15. It's all of it. All of it is filled in the same way. All of it. An understanding of the Sabbath is conformed to the word solemn. The Lord who demanded all of them and all of their gifts and all of their work commands them to an all, to a complete and whole Sabbath. Why? Because their lives belong wholly to Him in every way. Because He's delivered them unto that life. And you say, well, what does that mean? He delivers us to life and rest and joy. What does it look like? Well, to find that meaning, we're brought to the heart and center of the parallelism of this passage, because this becomes the Oreo filling within the chiasm, as it were, of this cookie. Because the Sabbath is more than just a day, even though it is no less than that. But rather, it's driving towards their way of life, of living Sabbath in the Lord. Verse 15, 6 days you shall work, be done. Again, it's still an important reminder. A reminder for those who are to now build a holy dwelling as holy dwellings. You shall work, but it's important how you work. Your whole life, all of your labor is to be done unto the Lord, everyone living out a holy calling in Him. Here is the reminder, God's work must be done in His way. The instructions that He's given are clear. Our work, our all, is to be given to Him in holiness and thanks as those consecrated by Him and blessed by Him. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Again, solemn here equals complete or whole. His whole day is His gift to you. His whole day is to be set apart unto Him in His service. And that's a blessing. For those of us who stake the flag, 6 day, 24. But that seventh day, we don't want to talk about 24. It's His day. It's all of it. It's His gift to you. What a joy. But you say, what is that rest? And yes, surely there's a physical element of that rest. No hammers, no molding, no gathering, rest. But is it more? Because the Lord is saying, I'm giving you rest. It's still a task, right? I mean, any of you who are parents who plan for vacation, right? Your kids are all like, oh, look at this rest. And you're like, no way. I need vacation from my vacation. I need rest from my rest. Now take that and apply it to your Lord's day. Because we get in our mind, well, I won't have anything to do today. No, we're doing something important right now. And we'll do it again at 5:30. And we'll do it all through this day of discipleship and growing in the Lord and caring for His people and being a blessing. You see, there's still a physical element of the work. You have to give yourself to the task of spiritual rest in the Lord. You have to plan for it. You have to give your attention to it. You have to set it apart according to His will and instruction. That's the task of the whole day. And in fact, I would encourage you in this understanding that you might be more exhausted after the Lord's day because you have filled it with that which He has given you to fill it with. And it will be good because it will refresh your body and your soul in Him. And because you are giving yourself to that task, you will find life. And yet the reminder of the seriousness of that solemn call stands. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Why? The whole day is gift. It is to be used wholly for Him, even as His claim on your whole life is the same. And so I want to challenge you. If you're working on the Lord's day needlessly, you're settling for less. Honestly, you're settling for sin. And He's provided you something better in His Son. And surely we recognize, and I don't have time to go into what is necessary labor and some of the fences around fences that we build. Take it for what it is. Because when we quibble about those things, it's because our desire is typically to work rather than to worship. It's a matter of a divided heart. Rather than a heart wholly devoted to him and to his worship and to his service. Here is the blessing of the Lord, a solemn whole day of rest in the celebration of his grace and deliverance. And that's his promise. Verse 16, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. The promise is repeated. The command is repeated. You shall keep it. There is no option. There is no better way. There's no other use of the gift. You shall keep it. You shall nurture it. You shall guard it. You shall cherish it. And not just now, and not just when you get older, and not just when you become more serious about faith. No, each and every one of you, at least a member of this church, has been consecrated and set apart to the Lord, either there or in the pew there when you said, I do. Every one of you set apart to the Lord is holy. Here is his command to a distinct and holy people. And think about the duration of the promise throughout your generations. You see, brothers and sisters, what we do and what we keep is not just some old Dutch traditional thing. What we do is a covenant thing. That's the difference. What we do is a keeping and observing of the thing in the same promise. We belong to God. We are given to him and to his word. He has made us holy, so we will be holy in the way that we live. Not as a show, not as a way of arrogance before the world, but as a way of holiness and truth and love and witness. Our exercise of rest on the Sabbath is a sign of thankful obedience to his covenant promise. That those who will not keep the Sabbath indicate that they have no place in his promise. It's plain. Those who seek to keep that Sabbath rest in Christ declare their love for his promise and their rest in it. It's that simple. Why verse 17? It's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's that simple because we imitate that which we love and find important. And so we imitate the Lord as a sign of thanks. A sign of what? It's still a sign of sanctification as we read in 13. But now it refers to our task and privilege in it. Motir again, the Sabbath is to be a sign to the world of our holy separation as the Lord's holy people, verse 13, and that separation is a sign of our determination to fashion our lifestyle in imitation of the Lord. Think about that. We are given his promise that he is for us and gives us rest, that we may respond to that promise in Jesus Christ by finding our rest and refreshment and satisfaction in him, his promise, and his word. And that's the point of the Sabbath. By extension, that is the promise of the Lord's Day, which expands its scope. And expands its joy, right? Again, Motir, it is not meant to be an exercise in restriction, but in devotion. And that's the excitement of this day. That's the joy in this day. It's not defined by a matter of what we can or cannot do. That's the immaturity of a kid. Don't settle for that. But instead, it's a matter of what we're privileged to do, privileged by his promise to enter into his rest through the work of Jesus Christ alone. And that places some of the words that we sang together before the sermon from Hebrews 4. For those who have believed, enter that rest as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So how do you close that up then? Because now what do we do? And that's where we're left in these things, right? Pastor, just tell us what to do. God's word is speaking to you. How am I using this day? How am I doing it fully? How is my life fully his? That's the consideration. That's the call. Bezalel and Aholiab, you're called to work along with the people of Israel. But how are you going to rest? And what will that look like? And how it will be distinct? And how will it point then? And how will ours point now? To Jesus. Because Jesus too completed his work, right? It is finished. And after he did that, he what? He rested. After 3 days, he took up his life again that we might rest in him. And his completed work by finding all of our rest in him, that too is the joy of the Lord's Day. We celebrate the fact and promise that he works so we don't have to cling to ours. And we're so thankful that he gives rest to the weary and heavy laden so we will continue to find unfettered joy and gladness. And so what do you need to do? Please ask yourself, is this your desire in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in your heart of hearts, in him alone, that you find rest in him alone, and that your rest is now wholly to him alone? Is that your desire to know more of that in the gift of the Lord's Day he's given you? Because the Master Builder is continuing to build a relationship in you and with you. And he's continuing to build in us a dwelling place for him by the Spirit. And so, yes, his call to work is important. But his call to rest is no less important in that task. Let us heed in Christ the call of Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. But instead, let us fall into his arms of mercy and thanks. And thanks for the holiness that he works in us. That which he is creating us, the exodus that he has brought us out in, of a Sabbath that he consecrates us in, that we might find all of our rest and refreshment in him and in Christ. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, the truth of this law, the truth of the gospel, and the truth, Father, of how we look in both of these things to Christ. And so, Lord, you know our hearts. You know our propensity to want to find our definition in our work and the things that we have done, rather than even in this day resting in who you are and what you have done for us in your Son and what you've made plain to us by your word and Spirit. And so, Father, if repentance is to be sought, may we do it. That, Father, if we are not using this day in the way that you have intended, Father, please convict us. Prick our consciences, Lord. Tear away that callous that says how we've always done it is right. It might not be. And Father, we pray, may we fill this day with joy and gladness because you've already done that. And here's the promise that is ours. And so let us use this day and that rest that you have granted to us. And Father, may we then know our identity in you and in your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. On our way out this morning, we have opportunity to provide for the work of our church and its general fund, and so we again continue to thank you, especially in this past year, the ways that you have been faithful to the giving of the body, and so we pray that the Lord would continue to bless us